Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. We'd like to read verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I want to, first of all, consider the context of these words. Consider the reason they were written. Toward the close of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, if we turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he made mention of an offering for the saints. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye." He then, in verse 2 and 3, gave instruction on how that offering should be taken. He says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." So he's talking about taking an offering for some saints at Jerusalem. Again, in verse 1, "Now concerning." The way this is worded shows that something previously had been mentioned concerning this. Notice in the book of Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, verse 25 and 26, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So this taking of this offering was known to many of the churches, and I believe known to the church of Corinth. In Paul's second letter, in 2 Corinthians, which is about a year later from the first letter, He made mention of how the Corinthian church had been so excited about this offering, about being able to give toward this, and how they were determined to give in this way. But now a year has passed. A year has passed since the first letter, since it was first mentioned about the offering for the saints at Jerusalem, and the Corinthian church still had not given. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who hath begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have." He said, you were willing to do this a year ago, but you still haven't done it. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 and 2, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So the Corinthian church had a year ago was excited about giving an offering to the saints in Jerusalem, certain saints in Jerusalem. But as of now, they had not given this offering. Paul, in this portion of the letter in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, he writes to encourage the Corinthian church to do what they were so excited about doing 1 year ago. To encourage them in this endeavor, he made mention of the churches of Macedonia in chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. We'll not read all those verses, but notice verse 1. He says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that is, we make known to you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, which would be the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He says grace was bestowed on these churches. And as you read down through, you see that these churches gave. And they gave out of their poverty. So he's using these churches as an example to the Corinthians. He says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment. That is, he's not commanding them to give. He's encouraging them to do so. He's challenging them in this matter. And in verse 9, to encourage them, he reminds them of the grace of Christ. He says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So he's encouraging the church of Corinth to give this offering. Still seeking to encourage them, we come to chapter 9, and he seeks to encourage them by giving them a warning. In verse 6, he says, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Again, this is in the context of giving. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And he went on in verse 7, he said, Every man according as he purposeth his heart, so let him give not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So he gave a warning, and he said God would be pleased if you gave in this manner and if you gave with a proper spirit. And then in our text in verse 8, by way of encouragement, he speaks of the all-sufficiency of God's grace. It seems to me that the church of Corinth was probably struggling financially because of two things. One, in verse 1 of chapter 8, he reminds them of how the churches of Macedonia, they gave, and they gave out of their poverty, implying, of course, that the church of Corinth also was struggling. Now we come here to chapter 9 and verse 8, and he speaks of God's grace and how God's grace would enable them to do this, that they just needed to trust in the Lord. Again, God's grace, as we saw this morning, is God's unmerited favor. It is God's activity toward us in love. It is God's activity toward us in favor. It is who God is coming to us and intervening in our lives out of love and out of favor toward us. It's God's power. It's God's love. It's God's care in our lives. It's, again, God made available to us. And Paul was a man who lived in the domain of grace. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. He says, For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Then he corrected himself. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. So Paul lived in the domain of grace. He made mention here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6. We'll not turn there, but you can look at it later. He made mention of God's grace in his ministry and how his sufficiency came from God. We see in our text he mentions grace in the context of material needs, in the context of financial needs. And in chapter 12, as we saw this morning, he mentions grace in the context of our physical and spiritual trials. We are reminded in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 that he is a God of grace. We are reminded in Hebrews 4 and verse 16 that there is a throne of grace, and that you and I are invited to approach that throne, and you and I have access to that throne, and you and I are able to draw grace from that throne in time of need. We are also reminded in Acts 20 and verse 32 that the Word of God is referred to as the Word of His grace. That is, we find grace in His Word. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, we read of a promise of grace. And now in our text, we see God's grace is described. What it does is described. And in order to see the nature of God's grace as it's presented here in chapter 9 and verse 8, we want to divide this verse of Scripture into 10 parts and just look at it and see the nature of God's grace. I want to speak tonight of living in the domain of grace. That's where we ought to live. We ought to live in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. What a wonderful place to live. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Notice, first of all, it says, and God is able. God, the God of grace, is able. God, the dispenser of grace, is able. This speaks of the all ability of a gracious God. God, the God of all grace, He is able. He is able in all circumstances. He is able in all conditions. He is able in all places. And He is able at all times. God is able. John the Baptist declared in Luke 3 and verse 8 that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That is, God is able to do that which is absolutely impossible. Raise up children from stones. God is able. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That is, God is able to do wonders beyond the imagination of man. We read in Philippians 3 and verse 21 that God is able to subdue all things to Himself. In other words, God is able to control and God is able to conquer all things. It is stated in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Which simply means that God is able to do what He says. We read in Hebrews 7 and verse 25 that God is able to save to the uttermost. That is, God is able to do the extreme. God is able to go to the extreme. And when this God comes to us in favor, and when this God intervenes in our lives out of love, that's grace. That's grace. And we need to live in the domain of God's ability. This is where we need to live. God is able. God is gracious. He is a God of grace. He is the dispenser of grace. And God is able. We need to live there. We need to dwell there. God is able. Secondly, it says, God is able to make. That word make means to cause. God is able to cause. Now, again, look at this carefully. God is, that is, God, the God of grace, is. That's right now. He is able. He has the ability to bring about an effect or a result. God is able to cause. That's true right now. Right at this very moment, God is, and God is able, and God is able to cause. In other words, God is able to bring to pass whatever needs to be done. Oh, we need to live there. We need to move there. We need to stay there. God right now is able to bring to pass whatever it is that needs to be done. That's what this verse is saying. God is able to cause. This is grace. Again, we need to live in the domain of God is able to make all things happen. That's where we need to live. Thirdly, God is able to make all grace. God is able to make or to cause all grace. Those two words, all grace, speaks of an exhaustless treasure. You'll notice it's not just grace, but it is all grace. What that means, that speaks of the whole amount. That speaks of the quantity that is needed. God is able to make all grace. I believe this refers to all kinds of grace. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 speaks of the manifold grace of God. And that word manifold simply means that God's grace has many features. God's grace has many forms. God's grace has various purposes. And as we live our lives upon this earth, there are many changes that you and I go through. We go through physical changes, we go through spiritual changes, we go through emotional changes, and God is, through all of these changes, the God of grace is. And He is able. He is always able to make or to bring to pass all grace, all types of grace. There is enabling grace. There is the grace that enables us to do what we need to do. There is preventing grace. God prevents us from doing the things we shouldn't do. That's preventing grace. There is sustaining grace. God holds us up. There is persevering grace. God keeps us going. There's all kinds of grace. But whatever amount of grace we need, God is able to bring it to pass. God is able to make or to cause all grace. Whatever kind of grace that you and I need, God is able to bring it to pass. We need to live in the domain of all grace. All grace. Now notice fourthly, God is able to make all grace abound. All grace abound. No matter what our condition, no matter what our circumstances, no matter where we are, and at all times, God is able to bring to pass all grace. Whatever amount we need, God is able to bring it to pass. Whatever kind of grace we need, God is able to bring it to pass. And He does so plentifully. God is able to make all grace abound. That is, He's able to cause this grace to be plentiful. We need to live in the domain of abounding grace. Fifthly, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. toward you. The word toward means in the direction of. God is able to make all grace abound in the direction of you. That's a wonderful place to live. Living in the domain of God's grace. So let's see what it says. It says God is able. That is, He has the ability to make or to cause all grace, whatever amount is needed, whatever kind is needed. God is able to make all grace abound, overflow in the direction of you. That's wonderful news. These are encouraging words. God knowing what we are, and God knowing where we are, and God knowing exactly what we need and when we need it, is able to cause everything that we need to overflow in our direction. We need to live knowing this, that God is able to make every kind of grace I need, and however much grace I need, God is able to make it overflow in my direction. If we believe that, that'll keep us looking to Him. There's no need to look anywhere else, because His grace doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from Him. Then notice sixthly, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always. The word that means in order. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you in order, that ye always. Now this introduces the specific purpose of grace. This introduces the benefits of God's abounding grace being sent in our direction. Notice the time frame covered. That ye always. That's the time frame covered. And I believe everything from this point in this verse, everything that follows comes back to these three words. That ye always. God is able, that ye always. We need to live in the domain of ye always because of His grace. Because of His grace, ye always. Then notice seventhly, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, then notice, having all sufficiency. That ye always, having all sufficiency. The word having is present tense. It's continual. It speaks of possession. That ye always possess all sufficiency. Sufficiency speaks of what is needed. It speaks of that which is enough. It speaks of that which is plenteous. But notice, it's not just sufficiency. That ye always having, possessing, we always possess all sufficiency. All sufficiency. Sufficiency means capability. Whatever capability, whatever kind we need, because of who God is, because of the nature of God's grace, we always have it. we always possess it. This speaks of quantity. We always possess all the sufficiency that we need. It speaks of type. Whatever kind of sufficiency we need. We as God's people, by the grace of God, always have it. So what we've read so far is God is, that is, God is always able to make or cause and bring to pass all grace. Whatever the quantity is, whatever type we need, God is able to bring it all to pass. God is able to make all grace abound or overflow toward you in your direction, that or in order ye personally, that ye personally, always, in other words, at all times, having, possessing all sufficiency. There is nothing this doesn't cover. We need to live in the domain of always possessing all sufficiency. By God's grace, we always possess all sufficiency. I can't think of a better place to live. Living in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. I mean, you live in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. It's pretty hard to read these verses and get depressed. It's impossible. This is where we need to live. You can live in the world. You can live in the realm of people. Or you can live in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And oh, what a difference there is. Then notice, eighthly, and I know we keep reading this verse, but we can't read it enough. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Possessing all sufficiency in all things. Things refers to all matters, all concerns, all affairs, all situations, all events, all circumstances, all details. Because of God's grace, we always have all sufficiency. Not just in some matters, but in all things. In all things. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that we always, at all times, possess all the sufficiency that we need in all matters, in all concerns, in all affairs, in all situations, in all events, in all circumstances, and in every detail of our life. Do you believe that? Do you believe what this verse says? We ought not only to believe it, we ought to live there. We ought to live in the domain of God's grace in all things. I possess all sufficiency, always, in all things. And notice ninthly, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. Again, it goes back to that ye always. That ye always may abound. As a child of God, saved by the grace of God, And by the provision of God's grace, each and every one of us can abound in all circumstances because of the grace of God. To abound is to go beyond. Just as Paul was able to live above the thorn, live above the messenger of Satan, we have all grace in all things that we may abound. And then notice lastly, to every good work. That word, too, is a function word, of course, and it indicates purpose. It indicates a result. The purpose of God, the purpose and result of God's manifold, always abounding grace coming in our direction is that we would always have all the sufficiency to abound in every good work. Realize what that verse is saying. What that is saying is, again, in the strict context, the good work was given unto the saints. But it has a much wider application. What this is saying is, because of God's grace, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, you and I possess all that we need to do right, to every good work. That's why it doesn't work when people say, I would be more faithful if my husband were more faithful. I'm sorry, you might believe that, but it's not true. Because your faithfulness does not depend upon that. The truth is, you have everything you need right now to do what's right. That's what it says. Not only to do what's right, but to abound. That you might abound in every good work. Somebody mistreats us. Somebody does not treat us like we think we should have been treated. We do not have to respond in the wrong way. Well, I wouldn't have responded that way if they hadn't said what they said. That's not true. You might believe it, but that's not true. You didn't have to respond in a sinful way. Because right now, by the grace of God, you possess always everything that is needed to do what's right. You see, the child of God can always take the high road. The child of God can always do what's right, no matter what anybody else is doing. Because we have this grace. So we need to live here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And when circumstances change, and when situations change, and we're tempted to get in the flesh, we don't have to. Because we can live in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. What a wonderful place to live. And if we would live there, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have, because we create a lot of our own problems. And we create a lot of our own situations. But by God's grace, we always possess all sufficiency in all things. That's wonderful. It is no wonder. It is no wonder that Paul closes every single one of his epistles with words such as, may God's grace be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He ends every letter expressing a desire that God's grace would be bestowed upon them. It's no wonder. Look at what God's grace does. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Paul lived in the domain of grace. We need to live in the domain of God's grace. Things are only going to get harder in the Christian life. Things in the world are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. The enemies of Christ are going to become more and more and more bold. And enemies will pop up everywhere. But I and you have everything we need to always, in all things, do what's right. That is the grace of God. Oh, how we need to plead for God's grace to overflow in our direction. But I believe since the day that God saved our soul, His grace has been flowing in our direction. We just have to make use of it in our lives. We have to live in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. You read that verse over and over and over and over again. You say, I don't need to. You already read 22 times tonight. Well, you just keep reading it. You just keep reading it. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful place to live. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 8.